Hey, everybody. Welcome back to It's Only Embarrassing If You're Embarrassed podcast, a podcast focused on normalizing everyday challenges such as mental health, addiction, grief, divorce, loss, and many more. I hope this episode inspires you to be your best self and to live your dream life one day at a time. Y'all, seriously, this is my second time recording this podcast. I just went to go record this podcast and I messed up the input and output, and I don't know, I recorded, there was no audio. Fortunately, I got to almost the very end before I realized, but hey, we are back, better than ever, round two. Thanks for tuning in to It's Only Embarrassing If You're Embarrassed podcast. At first, I was like, I'll just pretend like that, like, fake take never happened, but we're talking about real life here, and real life is I've just wasted like 30 minutes recording a podcast to tell you guys the same thing I'm about to tell you now, but I'm determined. That was just like my little quick take. This is going to be a better episode, which is great news because this is actually the episode where I'm getting just really candid about my story and my journey with recovery, and I cannot wait to unpack it with you guys. Okay, so whenever I started drinking, I actually was probably in high school. Towards the end of high school, I thought like all the cool kids were drinking. It was cool to drink. It was adult to drink, whatever. And so I started drinking quite a bit because at this time in life, I did not realize that I had a very addictive personality and that if I started to drink or try drugs, I would want to do them every single day. And so I started drinking just kind of to fit in because once I started drinking, all these different just worldly reasons, right? And then I went off to college and I went to East Carolina, which was a party school, and I had the opportunity to drink or smoke or do something every single day of the week if I wanted to. And trust me, I wanted to, and I did most weeks. And this is probably where my bad drinking habits and just lifestyle habits started. And so I thought that the only way to have fun was drinking. So I incorporated drinking into everything. I even did like a wine and pottery night once a week with my friends. That was like my low-key night, right? I'd drink like only a bottle of wine and go like get drunk and paint things. And that was like my low-key chill evening. And I got really bad just in this lifestyle and these habits of just partying all the time. And I went to bars quite a bit. I had like basically a bar for every day of the week I would go to, you guys. Like every single day of the week, I could tell you somewhere you could go. And at the time, this is probably like 2011 to 2014, I could have told you what bar to go to, which day of the week to get a dollar drink. Like, that is the lifestyle I was living. Like, I was spending all of my money on alcohol. I could tell you where to go each night of the week. And I was also working in restaurants and bars at the time. So literally my whole lifestyle just revolved around if I wasn't working at a restaurant or bar, I was at one. And I was literally just trying to go to like as few classes as I could to keep up my party lifestyle, to hang out with all my friends. And I thought this was totally normal because I was just like, oh yeah, it's what people do in college. It's just, you know, this lifestyle that I'm living in. I'm young, YOLO. This is also back when Jersey Shore was a thing. And y'all, on Thursdays when I was like 18, 19, we literally would watch Jersey Shore while we got ready and pre-gamed and drank Four Locos. And then we would go with our fake IDs out to bars and just do reckless things till 2 a.m. when they made us go home, right? And I just thought, again, this was so normal. Everyone that I went to school with was doing it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was what you did. And then probably when I was maybe 19 or 20, that's one of the first times I can remember like having a really challenging situation in life and like going to a bar to drink to try to escape that. And I remember just being like, oh my gosh, am I drinking to escape? But then that felt shameful. So then I drank more to escape that feeling, right? And it's just this perpetual bad cycle that I saw myself getting caught up in all of, you know, my 20s. And so I go to a meeting once a week, actually that same Wednesday meeting that I went to, that very first AA meeting that I went to. And I was reminiscing on what sort of drinker I used to be. And by this, I mean, we were talking in the big book about things that we used to do whenever we were drinking that would really embarrass us. And so I was sharing that I was like the blackout throw up drinker. So like if we went out for sure on the Uber drive home, I was going to ask our Uber driver to like pull over so I could throw up somewhere, or I was going to like throw up in somebody's bushes or like in the bar bathroom, or like that is the point that I took it to every time. I always drank to until I blacked out, until I threw up. I had all these just very unhealthy coping mechanisms and drinking habits. And I thought, oh, I'm just fun. This is just my party lifestyle. This is normal. You know, all these things that we normalize or that we tell ourselves or ways that we justify it. And then the next day after I, you know, blacked out or threw up, I'd be like, oh, the problem is, one time, this is real. One time I was like, the problem is that I drank SoCo and lime last night. And like, it was not like my body did not agree with it. And the problem was that I had like 12 SoCo and lime shots, not that that's what I was drinking. And the problem was that as soon as I started drinking, I couldn't stop drinking. I started drinking and I'm like, this is what we're doing now until we black out, throw up, pass out, something. And it was just this very unhealthy cycle that I lived in for, you know, most of my 20s. And then once I got out of college, I had a day job, but I also bartended a couple nights a week. So again, right back in that party lifestyle, having people, you know, to drink with pretty much any night of the week. And then whenever I wasn't drinking or working at the bar, I was, you know, trying to climb the corporate ladder. I was doing all of these, you know, really worldly things and using alcohol to cope. And so once I got into adulthood and realized I couldn't drink every night of the week because I can't black out on a Tuesday and make it to my day job on Wednesday, I was like, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start only drinking on weekends. That is a pretty good sign you might be an alcoholic. Like if you're like, okay, I'm going to try to just drink on weekends, but then you can't because then Monday comes around and you're like, oh, it was a hard day. I'm just going to let myself drink this one day. And then that turns into, you know, oh, I already blew it Tuesday. And the next thing you know, you're back to drinking every day again. And I just kept going through, you know, these cycles. And then since I thought that alcohol was the only way to have fun whenever I went on vacation, like my vacations revolved around drinking. Like if I picked a vacation, we were going on a cruise or an all-inclusive where I could drink all day, all night, have alcohol at any meal, and have nobody to judge me for it. And that was also like something I looked forward to around the holidays. Like if you invited me to a holiday party, all I'm contributing is wine or champagne. Like, and that was what I thought was normal. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just the one that knows all the good wines. That's why I always bring it. And it's like, no, the reality is I wanted to make sure there was something that I wanted to drink there. So I always showed up with something to drink. And so that is just kind of a quick little like summary of how I lived for pretty much all of my 20s. And then in 2020, things really all came to a head. And if you're listening and you're like, things weren't bad then, just buckle up. So 2020, the company I'm working for gets sold. My dad ends up passing away from COVID after being on a ventilator for about a month. And then I start going through a really messy divorce. And all those things happen within like probably, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months of each other. And I can't deal. Like it is so much. I don't know how to cope. I don't know how to deal. So I start drinking more than I've ever been drinking before. But at this point, it feels like the alcohol isn't working. So I start adding drugs. I start smoking a lot of weed. I start taking Adderall and Xanax. I start experimenting with shrooms, you know, just all these things because I thought that my problems could only be solved through alcohol or drugs. I didn't realize what I needed was faith to get into AA and to get my life together. And so I lived like that for about 2 years. And then one day, and I know this had to have been God, I woke up and I realized like, oh my gosh, I've been living, like I haven't been sober for a day in more than 2 years. And I was like, okay, I really need to do something about this. I'm going to quit drinking. But at the time, I was about to go on a trip to Austin, Texas with my boyfriend. And I was like, okay, so here's the deal. Vacation Madison loves to drink and take edibles on the plane. So we're going to quit whenever we come back from Austin. We're going to go there. We're going to get drunk for a couple of days. And then when we come back, we're going to quit. So that is what I did. Went to Austin, drank for a few days, came back. I'm like, bada bing, bada boom, I'm quitting. And so I just quit. And it is like, I go through the next like hardest, like 3-4 months ever. Like I go through such bad withdrawals. I am so anxious. I'm so depressed. I have to go back on antidepressants. I even try like alcohol craving pills at one point. And finally I am like, ooh, I need to talk to my therapist about how maybe I was an alcoholic. Because whenever I quit drinking, I didn't think, ooh, I need to quit drinking because I'm an alcoholic. I thought, I need to do something about like this dependency I had on alcohol, like maybe cut it for a little while and then just like see where it goes. And then since then I've become, you know, very vastly aware that I, you know, have a very addictive personality and was just living in addiction. But at the time, I just thought like, I'm going to quit for, you know, however long until I like don't need it anymore. And then I'll just like start drinking a little bit, right? That's what I think. And then I realized like, oh my gosh, I think I was addicted. So let me talk to my therapist about this. So also, based on all the stories I just told you guys before this, like it should have been very obvious to me that I was living in addiction, but it wasn't, and I was in denial. And so I go to my therapist and I'm like, hey, so I quit drinking because I was drinking every day for like a couple years, and I've been having really bad withdrawals, and I think I'm addicted, and I don't know what to do. And she's like, we've literally never talked about your drinking habits before ever. Why is this the first time it's coming up? And I'm like, I don't know, because I was embarrassed and I didn't want to talk about it, and I didn't know how to deal with it, and you know, all these excuses I have. And so she, you know, starts to give me, you know, some really great just tips, advice, different things like that. And she's like, what I really think you need to do is I think you need to get into AA. And y'all, I am offended. I am like, Lauren, my therapist name is Lauren. I'm like, you think I need AA? I am not one of those AA people. I do not need that. And I like throw that thought away, right? And then I struggle for like another month. And then I bring it back up and I'm like, hey, I'm still not doing good. She's like, have you tried AA? I'm like, nope. She's like, why? I'm like, because I don't want to be an AA person. Like I had created all these stigmas around being somebody who went to AA in my own mind. And I had allowed those stigmas to literally control whether or not I gave myself help in recovery. The craziest thing now looking back. So one day I end up taking my therapist's advice and going to AA, but here's how it goes. I used to work in the corporate world. And so I had a job where I would have to, you know, kind of host a lot of like dinners, celebrations, different things like that. And there would always be alcohol, and old me loved this, right? Perks of the job, get to get drunk on a Tuesday. However, new me is like, we're in recovery. We haven't been to AA yet, and we can't go to this event and not have 18 drinks and ruin our life. So I end up backing out of this event and going to AA on a Wednesday, literally a random Wednesday. That's how I started my AA journey. And so I get in the car to go to AA, very begrudgingly, I might add. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be somebody who needed AA. I have all of these, you know, really uncomfortable emotions coming up that normally I would drink away. But since we're not, we're headed to AA. And so at this point, I had kind of halfway given faith a try. Like I had given God the opportunity to come in and fix my life overnight magically. I had never actually given real faith a try. So as I'm on the way there, I'm like, hey God, it's me. I think you're real and I think you're listening. And I am really struggling with this alcohol thing. And like, I don't want to go to AA, but like, if it's where I'm supposed to be, like, please show me like a sign that this is where I'm supposed to be. So I say this prayer, I go to AA, and I get to AA and I'm still angry, right? I'm like, I could leave and nobody would know I even came. And so I go, I sit in the very back row close to the door so I can leave if I don't like how it's going, right? And I sit in this AA meeting and I literally sit in the back crying almost the whole time, because literally every single thing that every single person shared was a mirror image of my journey with addiction in some way. I just didn't know how to put into words what I was going through. And so I sat in this meeting and I heard all these shares, and every single share I needed to hear, I related to, I understood. And it was the first time that I ever sat in a room full of this many people and realized, like, I have something in common with every single one of these people. Even though we're all different ages, backgrounds, walks of life, like, even though we're all so different, like, this is where I belong. Like, these are my people. These people get what I'm going through. And so I am trying to figure out, you know, in this meeting, like, what do these people have that I don't? Like, how are they staying sober? And I realized that what they have that I don't have is faith. That's it. Like, these people are working these 12 steps. The 12 steps involve, like, going all in with God. And, like, that's what these people are doing. And, like, it's working for them. And they seem happy and they're sober, which is wild to me at this time, because I can't fathom people being happy and sober at this point in my life. And so I'm like, all right, God, I get it. I'm going to go all in with you. I mean it this time. I know I've said I'm going to go all in with you in the past, but, like, I didn't mean it. But, like, this time I mean it. I'm going to go all in with you. Help me with my sobriety. Just take over my life. Restore me to sanity. You know, all these things that are in the beginning of the steps. I say it, I commit, I go all in. And I start to go to AA every week. I start to get involved in the AA community. I start to go out with some of my new AA friends. I start to go to behavioral health and share about my journey. I start to do all of these different things. And again, go all in with God. And all of a sudden, my life starts to change in a way where I don't feel this obsessive need to drink every day. I don't feel all this anger and impatience I used to feel. I actually have a higher power now that I can depend on. I have these tools and these resources that I've learned through therapy and through the 12 steps and through having a relationship with God and through reading the Bible and through prayer and through meditation and all these things that I've now learned that allow me to stay sober one day, sometimes 1 minute at a time. And during, you know, the past year and a half, there have been plenty of times where I've still wanted to drink, but God has given me the resources, the strength, and the ability to stay sober. And so I want to stress, like, whenever people are like, oh, does AA work? Like, how do you recover? Like, the main thing that I've realized about the people who recover and the people who don't is the people who recover are the people that go all in with God and that truly believe and allow that God to change their life and that God can change their life. And I think that the people that kind of are, like, in and out, as I say, like, sometimes they're in meetings, sometimes they're at the bar, like, those people generally are the people that can never fully go all in with God. And so people told me, like, this is a spiritual program. If you want to stay sober, you have to stay spiritually fit every single day. And I was like, okay, I don't know what the heck that means, but I'm going to start. I'm going to try. And so I started just by doing little things. I started by praying every morning when I wake up. Hey, God, I give you this day. Keep me sober. Guide my steps, you know, and then it's kind of evolved since there. Then I started listening to Joyce Meyer Ministries podcast. It's like a daily devotional. Then I started meditating. Then, you know, eventually I got to the point where I was trying to make amends with people that I had done wrong in my past when I was living in addiction, different things like that. You know, my life just started to, you know, just drastically change as I started to incorporate these new habits. And now I have, you know, this whole new life full of all these new habits where I'm sober and I love that. And I've done so many things that I never thought I could do sober or could do and have fun sober, and I've had the best time. And I've also learned a ton of new hobbies, a ton of things that I like to do. And none of those things involve feeling that, like, obsessive, like, need to drink like I used to. And I truly think that that is God just making a way for me to just be free from that addiction and to be able to live a different life. So that is kind of just a brain dump for you guys of my journey with recovery and what I've learned along the way. So if you guys have any questions, I'll link my Instagram. Like, if you guys want to, like, slide in my DMs and ask me anything maybe that is private or that you want to know more about or whatever, feel free to reach out. And as always, happy healing, babes. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of It's Only Embarrassing If You Were Embarrassed podcast. I'm your host, Madison. If you want to get tuned into more episodes, you can click the follow button in the top right-hand side of your phone screen. This will actually notify you when new episodes are published. If you love this episode, please leave a 5-star rating and review. It really helps with the show. And last but not least, if you thought of someone during this episode that you were like, I really need my mom, my bestie, my sister to hear this episode, please share with a friend. And as always, happy healing, babes.